get them girls loose, loose.
TJR.
You don't get the world loose, loose. You don't get money,
Mr. Worldwide.
But I do.
Vic Carucci with you. Nathan Zagura also not here because I'm here at the Discount Drug Mart in Brunswick Hills. But Nathan is here. He's in the dog bowl. He is in the center, in the heart of things in Berea. And we are doing our usual show that's called Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. But we want to encourage you to please come out and join me and Buster Screen. Bernie Kosar's out here at 5270 Center Road in Brunswick Hills. It's Discount Drug Mart, the official drugstore of the Cleveland Browns. And let's grab a call here, Nathan, as we're moving along. It's Don in Ashland. Don, how you doing?
Not too bad, guys. I appreciate you guys giving me opportunity to talk here real quick. I just want to say, number one, I'm going to the game this weekend, so I'm so excited about that. I hope it's a great game. Really need the guys to step it up and play well. I want to give a shout-out to Buster. I hope he's listening. To me as a fan, I really appreciate what he's done in his short career and putting in the work and getting better. I was one of the ones at the beginning of the season that said that he could make a difference on this defense, and he has. And I just wish a lot of other guys on this football team would take a look at what he's done and really step up and train and do what they need to do to take themselves to that next level also.
That's awesome. And Buster is actually within a few feet here, can kind of hear this in the background. He's also visiting with fans, but I know he'd appreciate that. I think you made an excellent point, Nathan. I think the caller hit it right on the head. There are guys that, we throw the term leadership around loosely, and we make references to guys who just have to, say the right thing and step up. And This is a form of leadership by example, where a guy who worked that hard to hone his craft to get better, that can rub off on others.
Absolutely, and you've seen a guy who was one of the people in the preseason that was probably one of the most maligned players on this Browns team, someone that there were so many questions about. And Buster Skrine, you heard him talk about putting in the work, getting in all the tapes, working on his technique, working on his ball skills. He now leads the NFL in passes defense. He's turned into one of the better slot corners in the National Football League. And in today's NFL, your third corner, your slot corner, is as important, really, as your outside corners, if not more so, given a lot of the teams that you face and what they try to do by working people into the slot. So it is a very, very, very important position. And to see Buster Skrine take that ownership of it and improve his game and become a valuable asset. And that's why I asked him about Leon McFadden.
Right.
Because Leon McFadden is a guy that has come in, and this year, was a third-round pick. We thought that he had a chance to come in and start right away, and he hasn't been a factor. Well, Buster Skrine has gone from a non-factor really in his rookie season to someone that was considered maybe a liability last year to a very solid player and contributing member of the team in year three. And I think it's good for Leon to have a guy like Buster whose path hopefully he can follow and learn from about the work it took to get to this level.
Yeah, exactly. I think that is the ideal. That is the perfect guy in Leon McFadden to look at Buster Skrine, to look at Tayshaun Gibson, and to understand how much goes into making yourself a player who is viewed as a potential liability or just a flat-out liability, someone where there's more risk involved, to being someone who's contributing in a meaningful way. And they need that from Leon McFadden. I mean, I'm not giving up on the idea that there was a third-round investment in this player. There were reasons to be excited about him when this team made that draft pick last year. But so far, again, we just haven't seen any of it. And I'm not sure that you can just write that off. I think you give this guy another offseason. You see what happens at training camp. You see what kind of coaching he gets from Louis Choffey and Bobby Babbage. You heard what Buster Skrine talked about, what those guys have meant to him. And I know that they've also meant the same to Tayshaun Gibson as far as his improvement. We talked a little bit earlier, and you know this, Nathan, because he tweeted it out, Alex Tanney, saying that he is coming aboard with the Browns. I think as of now, not officially signed, but I think maybe an agreement has been reached of some sort, and we're waiting to hear officially if that's the case. But interesting guy who set a bunch of NCAA Division III career records, right? 14,000-plus passing yards, a whole bunch of touchdowns. I mean, this guy is an interesting player.
And if you're unfamiliar with him, or if the name sounds familiar and you're not sure why, he is the trick shot quarterback. So you could go to YouTube and check out his video. Look, Google trick shot quarterback. It's unbelievable. I actually, when I saw they signed him this morning, or were going to sign him, or it's imminent, I went and watched the video back again. And I'd seen it a few years when it first came out.
Yeah.
It's unbelievable. I mean, if nothing else, practices should certainly become a little bit more entertaining around here and preseason warmups. The guy's got some pretty incredible skills, and we'll see. You know, I don't mind this. It's taking a shot on a young guy
right.
who had tremendous success in college, who was on the Cowboys practice squad, who's been learning a very good, similar pass-oriented offense, been behind Tony Romo, and hopefully you get a chance to see what he can do here. And it's not, you know, a big investment or anything like that, but the guy's got some skills. There's no question.
Right.
You watch that video and you say, my goodness, that is pretty impressive stuff. So I like it. I'm okay with it. There isn't anybody out there that is a surefire, oh, yes, this guy's going to come in and turn around the season. If there
right.
was, any number of teams in the NFL would have scooped him up already. So why not take a shot on a guy off the practice squad?
216-578-0850, 216-578-0850. Let's go to Chris on a cell. Hello, Chris.
Hey, guys. How are you doing today?
All right, man.
Good. How are you?
Great. I'm going to try to be as fair as possible here, but I want you guys to grade Chud so far, okay? First of all, we're not ready to play in the season opener. They were not ready to play last week. And depending on what this team comes out and looks like Sunday, I would question this guy's capabilities if they don't come out ready to play. My grade's a D, so I would like to hear what you guys have to say.
Okay. Thank you for that call. I think you make a fair point about how the team looked in its performance, and coaching is as responsible for that as any other part of the team. There's no question about that. I think as a first-year head coach, and you, if you want to talk about grading, I think you've got to factor in the fact that this guy has had for less than half the season three different starting quarterbacks. I think when that's your starting point, and what has he had to work with there, and now you suffer yet another injury at the position. The rotation at that position has been downright crazy. Losing Brian Hoyer for the year, and now having Jason Campbell suffer a concussion. These aren't minor points. These aren't things that you can just ignore and say, yeah, but he didn't do this, or yeah, but he didn't do that. I don't know that the team, in the sense of not being prepared to play, my problem primarily was with the game at Cincinnati, which was the moment at hand. And there was also a big moment at hand for Pittsburgh. But I thought as a team that, you know, you saw what the defense did. You saw the problems that happened offensively and on special teams. I'm definitely not happy with what looked like, I'm going to use a term like stage fright or whatever the term might be, that the moment got too big for them. And is some of that on the head coach? Sure. But I also think players have to also recognize what's in front of them. Does the group as a whole, did the group as a whole get that and understand that well enough? The coach has to have them prepared. The assistant coaches have to do their job. And if you want to say they weren't prepared for that, go ahead and say it. I think it's a little bit of a bigger issue than that. My sense of Chud right now is that it's a passing grade. You said a D. I think D is passing. I'm probably higher than that. But at one point, we were talking about this guy as a potential, at least on the list, of Coach of the Year types of candidates. And I think that conversation came up heavily only a few weeks ago when they beat the Baltimore Ravens. My, how fast things have changed in the last couple of weeks.
No, you're exactly right. And if he wins these two games, obviously, I think that's where people would be with Rob Chudzinski. But the fact of the matter is they did not win them, and they didn't look good. And I think what it goes back to me is this. The coach is responsible for only so much. In terms of preparation, yes, but you don't know as a casual observer if they were prepared or not. You know how they execute on Sunday. And I think the execution of many things was very poor against Cincinnati. I do think there was maybe something that was a little lackluster against the Steelers, and execution, again, poor in that game. So I'm going to give him a passing grade as well. I think he weathered the storm early in the season after the Trent Richardson trade, the 0-2. But remember, how many teams and how many coaches in the National Football League could be successful without having a starting quarterback start and complete four games in a row at any point in the season? And I would also venture to say that it is a quarterback-driven league. We talked about how important that position is, and I'm not sure there was a quarterback on this roster at any point that would have at any point been considered to be amongst the top 24 quarterbacks in the National Football League on any given Sunday. So it is a difficult situation that he entered into. I think many of those things will be addressed in this offseason. So I'm going to give him a passing grade, but also somewhat of an incomplete, because I think we're going to find out a lot more when some of the quote-unquote excuses or concerns over the overall talent with which he is dealing will be hopefully answered this offseason and next year.
You know, I don't think there's any letting anyone off the hook. Everyone is accountable.
Totally.
Players are accountable. Coaches are accountable. Front office is accountable. And I don't think that's what Jimmy Haslam would have in mind as an owner or Joe Banner as a CEO. But I think it's also been clear because the message has been reinforced. And when I say this message comes to fans, comes to media, comes to people who are also invested in this, but it's delivered with the understanding that in the here and now, you're trying to do everything you can to be successful. But the truth of it is that it's building for long-term success. That means moves weren't made this year in terms of getting maybe more experienced players doing if you dived into that more heavily in the free agency, whatever you did on the experience end. When you sacrifice that and you also try to upgrade draft picks as this team, or did upgrade draft picks as this team did, trade away a Trent Richardson to get the additional first-round pick, all those moves made a statement about what future building was all about. I think in that context, it's fair to say that your head coach should at least get the chance to work with the roster that comes from the May draft and beyond.
Yeah, I think that's very fair. And too, coaching has a lot to do with why this defense has made the strides that it has made. And while that is Ray Horton, the defensive coordinator, he is the defensive coordinator under the head coach, Rob Chudzinski. The offense, I think Norv Turner has got to be frustrated. I think many of the fans are with what the offensive production has been outside of that. Pretty much brought in by Josh Gordon, especially of the last four games. So, you know, it's interesting. But I think overall he's done a good job. I think if you were to evaluate independently and honestly perhaps the talent on the roster top to bottom and compare it to the other teams in the NFL, I'm curious to see where it would be evaluated. But I think Rob Chudzinski's done a good job. I don't think he's done a miraculous job. I think if you win Cincinnati-Pittsburgh, you have the execution that you needed to win those games, then maybe he is regarded as doing a great job. But it's going to be – it's a process, and I think his grade, his ultimate grade, will become very clear over the next two football seasons, which is no fun to talk about. And I'm sad that we are talking about it, but it's the reality, unfortunately, of where we are after failing to deliver, execute, and bring home W's in the two biggest games that this Browns franchise has had in many years.
By the way, a game is coming up Sunday. We want you to be there at First Energy Stadium as the Browns take on the Jacksonville Jaguars. That is Sunday, December 1st. December 1st already, wow. In a critical AFC matchup. Well, we'll see how critical it is. It's still critical if this team mathematically is still involved with something. And I'll tell you, the Jaguars aren't coming in as maybe the slouches they looked like earlier in the year. They've gotten their act together. They've won a couple of their last three, right?
Yes, they won two of the last three.
Interesting from that standpoint. Call 1-800-745-3000 or visit clevelandbrowns.com for available tickets. We got a lot of fans out here hanging out at Discount Drug Mart. It's a lot of fun at 5270 Center Road in Brunswick Hills. You got adults, you got kids, you got people of all ages, all shapes and sizes coming out to see Buster Screen, who's signing autographs, posing for pictures. You got Bernie Kosar doing the same thing. Jabal Sheard is going to show up here in a little bit. He'll be here for the final hour of our show that we're here from 2 to 3. And by the way, Discount Drug Mart, the official drugstore of the Cleveland Browns. Much more coming up of Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford, Vic Carucci, Nathan Zagura.
And Notorious?
Yes, sir.
Let me jump in real quick. Yesterday was Bernie's birthday.
Bernie turned 50 yesterday. That's right.
So please give him my regards and a happy birthday.
And I think he's wearing his birthday tie.
Well, I'm glad he's not wearing his birthday suit.
He's not wearing his birthday. No, he's wearing his birthday tie in celebration. So we got everybody. Make sure you're wishing Bernie.
Yes, give Bernie my love. Happy
50,
birthday, brother.
The big 5-0. Oh my God, he's 50. That makes me really old, man. Oh man. All right, come on out and join us here. Lots of fun and be with us. And we're going to be here till 3 p.m. Much more coming up. Also, after further review, you're going to get that in hour number two, right around the 2:15 mark. A very popular Sweeping the Nation segment with Nathan and I doing that. Stick around. ESPN 850 WKNR.